Craddock & Co. Tales of a Victorian Detective by Chris Thompson. With Martin Jarvis as Charles Craddock and Emma Tate as Lucy Greenwood. Today's story, The Play's the Thing.
I'd been in London for 2 weeks now, working in my uncle's bookshop. If you could call it work. Where I come from, work meant getting up at dawn to milk 15 cows and carrying on till sunset. Book selling, on the other hand, seemed to consist of a lot of sitting about. I was sure things could be livened up a bit. I say, Mr. Grout.
What?
I've had an idea.
Oh?
Aye, a way of getting a few more customers.
Who says we need more customers?
I do, for a start.
Oh, you become an expert on the book trade, have you?
No, but, well, I was just thinking. In this newspaper, see, advertisements.
What about them?
I reckon as though we could put one in for the bookshop.
Oh, your uncle would never do that. Well, do you think he'd want the name of his business alongside pictures of cod liver oil and whalebone corsets?
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, that might be how things is done in Lancashire, but not here. Look, your uncle's come in now, but I wouldn't mention it if I were you. Oh, good morning, sir.
Morning, Grout. Good morning, Lucy.
Hello, Uncle.
Now, Lucy, tell me, how do you like the theatre?
The theatre?
Yes. I take it there are theatres up north?
Of course there are.
Only I've just had a letter from an old friend of mine, James Price. Bought his own theatre a year or so ago, King's Playhouse, down by the river. Been a theatre there since Shakespeare's day, apparently. Anyway, James has sent me 2 tickets for Hamlet tonight. What do you say?
If that's an invite, the answer's yes, please. I'd love to.
Splendid. Oh, I'd ask you as well, Grout, but there are only 2 tickets.
Oh, don't bother about me, sir. I'm not a theatrical man. All out of the in and out, and it makes no sense.
I dare say there's a few Cambridge dons who would take you up on that.
Yeah, well, that's as may be, but I know what I like.
Hey, of course you do. Oh, I say, look.
What?
In the paper, an advertisement for James's theatre. The Price Players present Hamlet at the King's Playhouse.
Advertisements? Now there's an idea, don't you think so, Mr. Grant?
I didn't mention it earlier, Lucy, but this trip to the theatre promises to be something of an adventure.
Oh, in what way, Uncle?
Well, my old friend James is a worried man. He's had nothing but trouble with this production of Hamlet.
What kind of trouble?
All manner of things. The costumes didn't arrive for the dress rehearsal. Polonius got run over by a cab on his way to the theatre.
Oh, dear.
He'll survive, apparently, unlike his fate in the play. The sword snapped in the duelling scene.
What bad luck.
Or worse. Poor old James is beginning to wonder whether the production might be jinxed.
Superstitious lot, aren't they, theatre folk?
Indeed they are. But if it's not a jinx, then what? It's almost as if someone's out to ruin him.
Well, why would anyone want to do that?
That is for us to discover.
You mean he wants us there in case anything goes wrong tonight?
That's about the size of it. Do you think you'll be able to tell if the play isn't going as it should?
I think so, Uncle.
James, my dear fellow.
Charles, I'm so glad you could come.
Oh, think nothing of it. Allow me to introduce my niece, Miss Lucy Greenwood. Lucy, Mr. James Price.
Delighted.
How do you do?
Your uncle has told you about our current difficulties.
Yes, he has, as a matter of fact. Something about a jinx, wasn't it? I thought that were only Macbeth.
Oh.
I mean the Scottish play that's cursed.
Yes. How did you know that?
You will learn to be surprised at nothing, my niece says, James.
Oh, we'd best take a seat, haven't we?
Yes, and be on the lookout. After all, the play's the thing.
Wherein I'll catch the conscience of the king. The first 2 acts went right well. I was really beginning to enjoy myself.
You are keen, my lord. You are keen.
It would cost you a groaning to take off mine edge. It would cost you a groaning to take off mine edge.
Still better, and...
The Lady Ophelia, she has gone into a swoon. Aha!
I don't think that's in the play.
Fairest Ophelia, she must be taken from hence.
Give me some light away! Right. Light! Light! Light!
They carried Ophelia off stage and managed to stagger through almost to the end of the scene.
"'Tis now the very witching time of night, when churchyards yawn and hell itself breathes out contagion to this world. Now could I drink...
My God, what's happened? Where's he gone?
The trap door open, that's what happens.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am sorry to have to inform you that there has been a most unfortunate accident. As a result, tonight's performance has been abandoned.
Oh, no.
Your money will, of course, be refunded. Thank you.
Oh, dear.
Looks like your pal James needs a bit of help. Come on, Uncle Charles.
Charles, I don't know what to say.
Where is he? Hamlet? Oh,
he's over here on the chaise longue.
Oh. Moving him wasn't a very clever idea.
Right, let's have a look at him.
Sorry. Careful, Uncle. Well, his left leg's broken, that's for certain.
He's probably cracked a couple of ribs as well. Have you sent for a doctor, James?
No.
The sooner he gets to hospital, the better.
Yes, of course.
Now, where's yon lass?
She's over there. The poor thing sounds most distressed.
It's no wonder. Hello. You're Elizabeth Barnes, aren't you?
Yes.
Are you feeling any better?
A little better, thank you. I've no idea what came over me. I feel so foolish.
There's no need. Anyone can faint.
Come, but in front of all those people. I've been feeling a little odd all evening. I had my pot of Darjeeling tea, as usual, about an hour before curtain up.
Oh, very nice.
And shortly afterwards, I began to feel rather... queasy.
I see.
I felt somehow oppressed, stifled.
Well, it didn't show in your performance. I thought you were doing very well.
Oh, do you think so?
Oh, ah.
Thank you. I do so want to do well, but to be truthful, this production has not been easy. It all began... What's that? No!
What's the matter?
What on earth's going on?
Hello, my dear Miss Barnes!
He was there, at the window!
What was?
A face, a horrible, hideous face! It was terrible!
There's nothing there now!
I'll take a look outside.
This has been the worst night of my life!
Oh, I am most terribly sorry.
Oh, so am I, Mr. Price, so am I! Sorry that I shall have to leave!
What?
This entire production has been doomed from the very beginning. I have tried, and I do so want to be a successful actress, but not in this production.
Well, I suppose I can hardly blame you.
I'll find a cab to take Miss Barnes home. Oh. Here you are, James, old man. This will make you feel better.
Thank you, Charles, but I fear I need more than a large brandy.
Things will look better in the morning.
With all due respect, Lucy, I can see tomorrow bringing nothing but more trouble. I mean, dash it all. I've lost two of my principal players. I can see no alternative but to cancel the rest of the performances.
Well, that may be no bad thing. You can concentrate on the next play.
Oh, there will be no next play, Charles.
What do you mean?
Well, if Hamlet stops, I stop with it. I have invested every penny I have in the theatre. I'm already stretched to the limit. I haven't even money to pay for understudies. I was relying on a sizable return from Hamlet, and by heaven, I believe it would have been a great success.
You can't just give in.
I fear I have no choice. You know, legend has it that this theatre is haunted. Of course, I've always scoffed at the idea, but now I begin to wonder if I haven't disturbed some malevolent spirit.
There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy, eh, Mr. Price?
Oh, quite so, Lucy. Quite so.
Aye, but that was Denmark in a play. This is London in real life. No, I reckon all this to do is the work of a man, not a ghost.
Oh, I wish I could be so sure, Lucy.
Ask yourself a few questions.
Such as?
Well, have you got any enemies?
None that I know of. I've always tried to behave like a decent sort of chap.
I can vouch for that, Lucy. I know of no one here who is better liked than James.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Charles.
No, it's the truth.
All the same, you might have just done something to someone once upon a time, without realising it. Think on.
Yes, I will.
In the meantime, we'd best get on with planning tomorrow night's performance.
How?
Well, for starters, I could play Ophelia.
What? But, I mean, do you think you can?
Aye, Elsa wouldn't have offered.
Well, I must say, and please don't be offended, my dear Lucy, I have been rather surprised by your knowledge of the bard.
I suppose you think we're all like folks from Wordsworth communing with rocks.
No, no, I didn't mean that.
Listen, Uncle, the answer lies in Miss Murgatroyd.
Who?
The village schoolmistress. As fine a teacher as you could meet anywhere. She used to make us learn speeches. You're not right convinced, are you? Listen. There's fennel for you, and columbine. There's rue for you, and here's some for me. We may call it a herb of grace o' Sundays. Oh, you must wear your rue with a difference. There's a daisy. I would give you some violets, but they withered all when my father died. They say I made a good end. It's a song next. Shall I sing it?
I am quite sure you sing like an angel. What do you think, James?
Well, it was very good.
Now, look, if Lucy is prepared to play Ophelia, then I shall tackle Hamlet. I played the part at Cambridge, remember?
Oh, how could I forget? You were brilliant.
Well, I suppose you're very kind. And I seem to recall that you tried to persuade me to join you in the thespian life. But that was some years ago.
I reckon you could do it, Uncle.
Thank you, my dear. You take heart from Lucy's spirit, old friend. I do.
Mr. Price, do you have any alternative?
Well, no. I don't think I do.
Right. Now, if I were you, I'd get off to Fleet Street. Get tonight's calamity in tomorrow's papers. Disaster strikes, but show goes on. It'll have them flocking in.
You mean they'll come expecting another mishap?
Does it matter? What have you got to lose?
Tendering it thus, you'll tender me a fool.
My lord, he hath importuned me with love in honourable fashion.
Aye, fashion you may call... Oh, blimey.
Blimey?
I've just seen the speech this here Poloni fella's got coming. Look how long it is.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Grout. You don't have to read it all. Just give me my cue.
Cue? I say, Lucy, have you finished with Grout? I could do with a hand with my lines.
Yes, certainly, Uncle. I think I've just about learned mine.
I wish I could say the same. It's such a long time since I've acted, I keep getting to be or not to be confused with now is the winter of our discontent.
Do you think the audience will know the difference?
Well, I'm afraid the Times Theatre critic will.
We'll be as right as rain, you'll see.
We must look upon it as a challenge, my dear.
And you, Mr. Grout, had best be in the audience.
Well, me?
Aye, me and Uncle Charles are going to be a bit busy. You'll have to be on lookout.
Oh, now, do I have to? I mean, what's your play?
I'm afraid so, old chap.
Oh. Oh, 'tis true. How smart a lash that speech does give my conscience. The harlot's cheek, beauted with plastering art, is not more...
So far, so good, Charles, old chap.
Then is my deed...
Yes, I think it's going rather well.
Oh, heavy burden. Oh,
I hear him coming. Let's withdraw, my lord.
Excuse me, James.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer... Soft you now, the fair Ophelia. Nymph, in thy orisons be all my sins remembered.
Good, my lord. How does your honour this many a day?
This is rubbish.
I've never seen such villains.
I humbly thank you. Well, well, well.
My lord, I have...
Get off stage!
Now, look here, you. As far as I can see, most of the folks in here want to watch this play without you making a nuisance of yourselves. Yeah. Yeah. So if you don't like it, I suggest you clear off and let us get on with it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, my lord, I have remembrances of yours that I have long and long...
Bravo! That was splendid. Well done, both of you. How can I ever thank you?
Oh, no, no thanks necessary, I assure you.
No, I right enjoyed myself. It beats the Hebden Bridge annual panto.
Stranick, say,
Mr. Craddock.
Ah, Grout, how was your first experience of Shakespeare?
Well, to be honest, sir, I missed the second half.
What? But I told you...
Begging your pardon, sir, after Miss Lucy had seen off those two loudmouthed ruffians, I thought I'd best follow her.
Oh, good thinking, Mr. Grout.
Go on.
Well, sir, they went to a tavern about a mile from here, the Turk's Head. And they met up with a tall, grand-looking general. At least ways he might have been grand once. Looked a bit down his luck, if you know what I mean.
Yes, continue, Grout, do.
Well, they got into a tight little ladle, so I was able to get up close. And I couldn't hear much, but I did hear one of the rogues call him Mr. Weatherby. And I noticed his handkerchief. Monogrammed it was. R.W.
Rufus Weatherby.
You know him, James?
Well, I know of him, as do most people in the theatre. Rather a sad story, actually. He showed considerable promise as a young actor. It was said he would be the next Henry Irving, but it never happened. It must be years since he had a decent part.
And I take it you're one of those hard-hearted theatre managers who have turned him down.
Well, that's just it. I'm not. I've not been in business here long enough for him to find his way to my door.
All the same, it sounds like he's our man. Good work, Grout.
Well, I suppose I'd better put the matter in the hands of the police.
Oh, no, you mustn't do that.
Why not?
Well, for a start, what's he actually done? What can you prove? No, 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 that is not the way. Besides, from what you've said, I can't see Mr. Weatherby himself being behind this. Chances are he's working for someone.
I agree, Uncle. And if I fancy, he'll be back. And try somewhat different next time. If we can catch him in the act, we shall have him trussed up like a Christmas goose. Then we might discover who's behind all this.
Well, how do you propose we catch him?
Well, me Uncle Jed.
Oh, yes.
Whenever he had a problem with poachers, used to sit and watch all night. A vigil, he called it. And that's what I shall have tonight. A vigil.
What, here? In the theatre?
Aye.
Lucy, my dear girl, I really am most terribly grateful for what you're proposing to do. But I must counsel against it.
Oh, aye, why's that?
Well, I know you rather dismissed the idea of there being a ghost, but this place becomes quite fearsome after dark.
The very witching hour, as Hamlet puts it.
I beg you, don't jest.
Oh, don't worry, I'm very serious. Tell me, Mr. Price, will Weatherby know about this legend of the ghost?
I imagine most actors know about it, yes.
Right. I reckon I could use that to my advantage.
Do I smell a plot, Lucy?
You know me, Uncle.
I wonder if he's ever going to come.
I was just thinking the same. It must be well past midnight. I'm right glad you're here, Uncle. It's not so much the dark, but I'm used to the sound of the woods at night. This is different.
Yes, the atmosphere.
Uncle, look, someone's coming through the stalls.
Our friend Weatherby, no doubt. He's getting up onto the stage. Good heavens. Cutting the scenery to ribbons.
We'd best get started then.
Yes, right.
What's that? Who's that? This is not my doing. I was made to. I mean no harm. It was Radford. It was Rex Radford. He told me to do it. Told me to put the theatre out of business. For pity's sake. For pity's sake!
I think he's told us all he knows.
Right, Uncle. I think he's had about enough. Let me deal with it. Mr. Weatherby?
What? Who are you?
Let's just say I'm a friend of Mr. Price's, the man you've been trying to ruin.
So you mean all this, the noises? A trick? How dare you?
No point getting angry, Mr. Weatherby. That won't do any good. Not after what you've just told us.
Damn you, girl, damn you.
I suggest you calm down and listen, unless you want to go to prison, that is.
For ripping some scenery?
I think you've done a sight more than that. Causing Hamlet to break his leg, drugging Miss Barnes's tea, running over Polonius in a cab. I think that would get you quite a long sentence, Mr. Weatherby.
Prison? Not me, surely not.
In the eyes of a judge, you're no different from any other rogue.
Very well, very well. What do you want from me?
I want you to go to this Radford fella. Tell him Mr. Price is prepared to sell this theatre, and he'll meet Mr. Radford here at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Have you got that?
Yes.
And not a word about what's happened here tonight.
Don't worry, I shall do as you say. Now, may I go?
Aye. And if I were you, in future, I'd stay clear of the likes of Mr. Rex Radford. Tell me, Mr. Gray, what do you know about the library at the British Museum?
Ooh, enough. It depends what you're looking for.
If it's something to read you want, Lucy, help yourself to anything from the shop.
I don't think you've got what I need, Uncle.
And what might that be?
There has to be a reason for all the doings down at the theatre.
Well, I assumed Mr. Radford would explain his motives this afternoon.
Happen he will. But how will we know if he's telling the truth?
Ah, you've got a point there.
Besides, my Uncle Jed says if you want to stop a fox eating your chickens, you've got to get to the coop before he does.
You know, I'm getting just a bit tired of Uncle Jed, Lucy.
I've got a theory. I want to test it.
Very well. They know me down at the British Museum. I'll give you a letter of introduction.
Oh, thank you, Uncle. I made my way by cab to the British Museum. They were right impressed when they heard I was related to Uncle Charles and said I could look at anything I wanted. But first off, I had to get my bearings. I'd never seen so many books. It took me a good 2 hours to find what I was looking for, but find it, I did. We got to the theatre just in time. Mr. Price stood on the stage to wait for Radford. I hid in the wings, and Uncle Charles was near the entrance, ready to lock the door once our visitor was inside. After a few minutes, he arrived. He looked slowly round the auditorium and made his way without hurry towards Mr. Price.
Mr. Radford?
Price, I receive your message. How much do you want?
Before we discuss business, I have one or two questions.
I owe you no explanation.
You have tried to ruin me, sir. My friends have been hurt.
Casualties of war.
What?
This theatre is rightfully mine, not yours.
But that's absurd.
Not absurd. I shall waste no more time. Name your sum.
I have changed my mind. The theatre is no longer for sale.
Don't jest with me.
I'm not.
In that case, I must take what is mine.
Put that down!
You have betrayed me!
Look out, Mr. Price!
Ah!
How could you do that?
Be silent!
James?
It's all right, Charles. Keep away from him, Lucy.
You might have killed him.
Don't provoke me.
I understand you.
You understand nothing. Let go of her. Stay back. Or she dies. If you harm her,
I shall do what I must.
You can't escape, you know.
Perhaps I do not want to.
Uncle!
Keep back or I'll shoot!
Where are you taking me?
A chamber deep beneath the theatre.
Uncle!
Be quiet!
Yes, the chamber.
Here, inside.
I can't see a thing.
Inside!
Aren't you going to leave that open?
No one can find us here.
Are we going to die? Is that what you want?
If I cannot liberate my ancestors, I must join them.
What about me? What about me?
They reach out to me.
Listen, I do know about this place.
What? How can you?
The King's Theatre, believed to be on the site of an ancient burial ground.
You know that?
Your ancestors?
Yes. Trapped. Desecrated. They cannot rest. I must bring them peace. If not...
Yes?
All is lost. And I suppose... death. I did not choose this task, but it has fallen to me. And I must do as I am bidden. There is no other way.
There might be.
No!
Mr. Radford, listen. There's a place near us. On Wolston Top. A stone circle. If you go there of an evening, just as the sun goes down, it goes right still.
The spirits of the dead. At peace.
Aye. But what I feel in here, it's not peaceful.
Souls in torment.
I know what you mean about the dead wanting to be left in peace. But if there's more killing now, how is that going to help?
2 bullets.
Look, I know you want to help them, but if you're dead, how can you?
I,
I don't know. What else can I do?
You can help me to live. I don't want to die. Are you telling me you could sit there calm as you like and shoot me? Are you?
No. I do not wish to kill you.
It'll solve nothing.
But as for me...
Please don't!
Lucy! Lucy, can you hear me?
My uncle. Let's open the door, shall we?
I have failed.
No, you found a better way. Shall I call him?
Very well.
Uncle Charles! Over here! We shall sort something out. You'll see. Well, Mr. Price, it looks like you'll be able to stay in business now.
Yes, thanks to you. And to you, Charles.
I wonder what will happen to poor Mr. Radford.
Poor Mr. Radford? He might have killed you.
Aye, but I can't help feeling sorry for him. He thought he was doing what he had to do.
I suppose so.
He's profoundly disturbed. The doctors say he may never return to normal.
I hope you don't mind, Mr. Price, but I took the liberty of visiting my new chums at the British Museum this morning.
But why should I mind?
Well, it seems they'd like to do some excavating under your theatre. With your permission, of course. They reckon they can get access from that chamber to a series of tunnels.
What, and find some of Radford's ancestors?
Yes. I thought if they did find something, it might put his mind at rest.
In the circumstances, I think that might be the right thing to do.
Thank you, Mr. Price.
Well, don't mention it. But there is something you might do for me in return.
Oh, I?
Yes. Your Ophelia and your uncle's Hamlet have received a good deal of attention, and I might add a number of favourable comments. I wondered if you might like to see out the rest of the run.
Oh, I say. Well, that sounds like fun. What do you think, Lucy?
There's good reason why Christmas comes but once a year.
And why is that?
That way it stays special. Besides, Uncle, you know as well as I do, the way you lead your life, we never know where we'll be from one day to the next. So I'm afraid the answer's no, Mr. Price.
Oh.
Well, that's a pity.
Mind you, if you ever think of doing Romeo and Juliet, I've always had a fancy to play Juliet.
Charles Craddock, Martin Jarvis. Lucy Greenwood, Emma Tate. Grout, Struan Roger. James Price, David Thorpe. Rufus Weatherby, Colin Pinney. Rex Radford, Barry J. Gordon. Elizabeth Barnes, Teresa Gallagher. Hamlet, Michael Onslow. Craddock & Co. was produced by John Taylor and written and directed by Chris Thompson.
Tomorrow, the reappearance of an old flame prompts a trip to France for Charles and Lucy. Claudia Roden's landmark text, A Book of Middle Eastern Food, celebrated her love for the dishes of her childhood. She wrote about chickpeas, sharp-flavoured marinades, aubergines, and her most popular recipe, orange and almond cake. In a dramatisation for BBC Radio 4 Extra, we go back to her roots in Cairo to hear how her culinary passion was first ignited.
Ah, oh, what? Is the picnic food ready? Where are you? A what?
I know where he'll be, Maman. On the roof terrace.
Awad was our family cook. He was from Upper Egypt.